Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I stand before you as the granddaughter of an iron ore miner, as the daughter of a teacher and a newspaper man, as the first woman elected to the United States Senate from the state of Minnesota. To announce my candidacy for President of the United States.
It was an exciting day in the snow globe.
Paid extra for the snow effect.
It was, despite what the president says, so quintessential Minnesotan for this to be happening. And we got pretty snow. It wasn't even the crappy slushy stuff.
It was snow globe snow. It was, yeah, photogenic.
It was perfect. There are people on Twitter saying, hey, if I ever run for anything, make sure I get a scene like that. It was just perfect.
But will it play outside of Minnesota, outside of the upper Midwest? We all know Senator Klobuchar here.
Yeah.
Do they know her in Bloomington, Indiana? Do they know her in Schenectady or Chico, California? It's a crowded field. It's getting more crowded. Can she stand out? Can she have an impact? Can she make it all the way?
In the Times this morning, David Leonhardt, he's an opinion columnist. It's just his opinion. But he says Klobuchar, along with Sherrod Brown, I believe from Iowa, would be his strongest ticket. He's an Iowa senator who may run. He said together they would be dominant, he thinks, because they've been successful in winning over swing voters. So swing voters, great. And I mean, I don't know about Sherrod Brown, but, you know, Amy's been really good about being reaching across the aisle. So maybe she can do it both with voters and with other lawmakers to make deals. But, I mean, he also says she's not necessarily the front runner. He wouldn't look at her as the president right there. Maybe the ticket would make her stronger. He says Kamala Harris and Joe Biden would probably be stronger leaders if they went. But Amy is among the Elizabeth Warrens, Cory Bookers, you know, a few others that would be a second tier. But he says, he makes the case, if she runs with the Sherrod Brown of Ohio, that they would be a strong team because they could grab those middle people. They could maybe be able to grab some Republicans that are unhappy with, or independents that are unhappy with the current state of the union.
And again, there seems to be this race to the far left, right, with talk of socialism.
That is very dangerous for the Democratic Party.
Healthcare for all and,
very dangerous.
And a living wage. And many of these are admirable aspirational goals, but I think it scares a lot of people in the middle. Certainly, you know, Republicans are eating it up.
Yeah, of course. Know? Yeah. And I often vote Democratic, not always, but I don't vote for the far left. I don't. And it does push more people into the middle looking for centrists. And if he's calling, he didn't call Amy a centrist in the Times, but he said swing voters appeal. She has swing voter appeal.
Are we ready to become Finland? Will America become Finland?
No.
I mean, people point out the positives of Scandinavia. You know, they have 70% tax rates. But look at that. You know, everybody gets an education, safety net. I mean, yeah, there are some benefits. But do you really, in a million years, imagine that coming to the U.S.?
No, I don't. I don't think that's realistic.
Something would have to happen. Something very bad would have to happen, I think, for us to go full socialist. I don't see it.
If you were at the Amy event on Sunday, give us a call. I'm dying to hear just the experience, the vibe, the energy response. 651-989-9226. What do you think? I mean, shots for, do you think she's a strong front runner?
I think where she will really show her strength is in the debates.
Yes.
The fact that she can hold her own with anybody. I've seen her debate, and she's very strong. She's very smart. And that comes out very readily. So And I also think with her strength with healthcare, prescription drugs, and also she's really taking ownership of data privacy.
Here's what she said about that at her announcement. Very interesting.
For too long, the big tech companies have been telling you, don't worry, we've got your back. While your identities, in fact, are being stolen and your data is being mined. Our laws need to be as sophisticated as the people who are breaking them. We must revamp our nation's cybersecurity and guarantee net neutrality for all.
See, this is an interesting platform. This is the first time I've heard her talk about it. Maybe I haven't been. Have you heard her talk about it before?
I have. Okay. And again, this is something that's near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
The Europeans are years ahead of us, right? I mean, if you're a European, you can come off the grid.
And they have legislation in Europe.
They have laws.
That protects them
yes.
from people stealing their privacy.
Yes. And it's coming to America. It reminds me of the old Wayne Gretzky quote, I don't skate to the puck, I skate to where the puck is going. And I think Senator Klobuchar is smart in that she realizes that 2020, this could be one of the major issues of 2020. Data privacy, data ownership, I want to own my data, I want to give permission to who can have my data, how it can be used. With more of us getting hacked, identities getting stolen, people using our data, harvesting our data for nefarious reasons, I think this is going to become a bigger and bigger issue over time.
Do you think this could be the campaign nugget, the platform that pushes her over the edge? Remember, we had that article by Dave Schultz, professor at Hamline, poli-sci professor, who said that Amy doesn't have a championed cause. She doesn't have an identifiable, you know, like Elizabeth Warren is really into healthcare or President Trump with immigration. He hammered that and he won on it and he's been extraordinarily successful with it. Amy doesn't have that nugget. Do you think data privacy could be the nugget that people will get behind?
I think it may be. I think we're a couple more widespread hacks away from.
Sure.
I mean, true outrage. People are already, I think a lot of people are unsettled and people are already unwilling to put personal information onto their laptop,
sure.
onto their computer, even onto their phone. And God help us if it gets to the point where we can't use any of these devices because we're afraid about blowback and getting hacked. And are the Russians going to get this? Are my neighbors going to see this? I mean, Jeff Bezos, you know, the latest example. If this can happen to the richest man on the world, his texts, his photos get hijacked or stolen and wind up God knows where.
We have a fun data privacy story coming up in Beyond the Headlines about Target. If you're using the Target app, you might notice something's different online than it is in the store. We'll tell you about that at 4:35. I also want to let you know, and Patrick, I see you on the line. I'm going to take it in a minute. We have Elton John tickets. We don't have Elton John.
We'll talk about that.
We did, but we don't anymore. We're going to talk about that later. Okay, this breaking news. Should have just taken this call. Patrick is in Mendota Heights. Patrick, you were at the Amy Klobuchar announcement yesterday?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. My wife and I had just a blast putting on all of our wonderful winter outfit, and we parked at her office and walked over the Hennepin Bridge and over, and you could get the excitement as we were getting into Boom Island. It was very great energy. I don't know if there was any guesstimates of the head count, but I felt like thousands.
Now, you were there. Obviously, you must be a supporter of Amy. I imagine that to be true. But did people feel and were they saying yesterday that she's got an amazing chance that this could be a full reality? And were they going that far as to talking about the nomination and the presidency?
You know, it was hard to visit with your fellows around you. I will say it was all of winter, and I had my park on. So I don't think there was a lot of people chit-chatting about her chance. I think everybody was behind her because we all know her very well. I'm a lawyer. I've known her for over 20 years. And I think that I will doubt your data privacy thing is going to be like what she's going to be signature for. I think what she was trying to emphasize is that is what I like to use the term baseball terminology. It's a simple single. That's how you can reach across the aisle to get
sure.
things like this done. It is just ridiculous. We can start with Minlars in Minnesota. What a disgrace that is and a waste.
Good point, Patrick.
Good point. But anyways, that was great energy there. Everybody, she knows how to hit singles, and that's the thing. is she got a single issue? I think that's what's going to keep her not up. You know, anybody who is known for one thing shouldn't be president. And the idea of divide and conquer like Trump is what's going to separates her dearly. She did get the I don't know if you've talked already, the fact that she got tweeted by the big guy.
And then I Patrick think what Reed she, did. Yes. Patrick, I'm out of time, but I have to let you go. But I really appreciate the time. And yes, obviously she got some attention from the president. But I appreciate the stage you set for
so,
the announcement.
Stating the obvious, the reaction to Obama was Trump.
Mm-hmm.
What's the reaction to Trump? Is it four more years of Trump? Maybe. What is the reaction? Could the reaction be Klobuchar? She said something that resonated with me. She said, today on this snowy day on this island, we say enough is enough. Our nation must be governed not from chaos, but from opportunity. Not by what's wrong, but by marching toward what's right.
It was a great speech.
She knows how to turn a phrase.
It was a great speech. As we go to break, we will leave you with some sound from Amy Klobuchar's speech as she lays out her platform. But when we return, Ilhan Omar, another legislator from Minnesota, making the news and not in a good way. Hear our response to anti-Semitic tweets when we return on CCO.
It is time to organize, time to galvanize, time to take back our democracy. It's time, America. Time to pass a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United and get the dark money out of our politics. To stop discriminatory actions by restoring the Voting Rights Act.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Appreciate you being here. Well, fun story about Amy, right? She got a lot of positive press. Despite the presidential tweets, they weren't so bad. We don't mind being called snow women or snow men, right?
Didn't she say, yeah, she said. Could have been worse.
We don't mind that.
Could have been called much worse.
We do for one. At least I do for one. I'd be pretty mad if somebody called me an anti-Semite as a Jewish American. I don't think that's ever happened to me in my life. I hope it's never happened to you.
Nope.
That is the case for our freshman Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar being called an anti-Semite. Here's the backstory on this. Clearly, as a Jewish person, I have a lot of issues with this story. On Sunday, Representative Omar responded to a tweet by journalist Glenn Greenwald that reads, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy threatens punishment for Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib over criticism of Israel. It's stunning to see how much U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans. Well, Omar replied, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. Now, do you know that reference, Paul, right? It's all about the Benjamins, baby?
Yeah.
And that was actually in a P. Diddy song, a Puff Daddy song? It's all about the Benjamins. It means it's all about the money, of course.
Money buys you access.
Right.
Money buys favors.
Money buys access and money buys favors. And then after Omar's tweet, a woman, you know, challenged her and said, we would love to know who Ilhan Omar thinks is paying American politicians to be pro-Israel. Though I can guess, bad form, Congresswoman, this is the second anti-Semitic trope you've tweeted. Omar responded in a tweet, AIPAC. Now, AIPAC is the American-Israel Policy Action Conference. AIPAC is a nonpartisan organization. I'm a member of AIPAC, and I know a lot of people that are. AIPAC does not give money to candidates. It cannot possibly support one candidate or the other because it has to remain neutral. Because if your president is a Republican, you have to support that president's relationship with Israel. If your president is a Democrat, you have to support that president's relationship with Israel. So it works very hard to be nonpartisan. And its main focus is to foster a positive relationship with American politicians and Israel. That is its purpose. It's a policy action conference. It focuses on education and support and leads many trips over to Israel for American. I believe Keith Ellison, most of our congresspeople have been on AIPAC trips over to the Middle East for education because you have to have education. Do I think this was an anti-Semitic tweet? Yes. Do I think Ilhan Omar is an anti-Semite? I don't know her well enough. I think this comes out of ignorance. I think Ilhan Omar only knows what she's been told, and what she has been told has been one-sided. And now that she is playing with the big boys and big girls in Congress and who actually make foreign policy, create foreign policy, she will get an education about what goes on in the world.
She got an education today from Nancy Pelosi, right? Basically, she got spanked. I guess she got called into Speaker Pelosi's office and read the Riot Act. Mm-hmm. That, no, this is not acceptable.
And Speaker Pelosi, in fact, you know, made a statement. Other members of the House Democratic leadership said anti-Semitism has to be called out without exception. And shockingly, and in a wonderful way, this kind of hatred and anti-Semitism was nonpartisan. You know, Republican leaders, of course, and Democratic leaders all called her out. Nancy Pelosi's statement reads this. Along with, of course, Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, reads this. Legitimate criticism of Israel policies is protected by the values of free speech and democratic debate that the United States and Israel share. Again, because Israel is a democracy, the only one in the Middle East. The statement continues. But Congresswoman Omar's use of anti-Semitic tropes and prejudicial accusations about Israel supporters are deeply offensive. We condemn these remarks and we call upon Congresswoman Omar to immediately apologize for these hurtful comments. And then she did.
So what would you say? I mean, Omar has been critical of the Israeli government over the treatment of Palestinians. Mm-hmm.
And the supporter of BDS, which is a boycott, divest, sanction movement and an anti-Semitic movement toward Israel.
Some call it an occupation. Mm-hmm. Right. Again, is this simply, in your estimation, and you can't know what's in her head, what's
I don't know
her
what's
heart,
in her head.
But right. You think she just got swept up in sort of...
I hope not to think that. She is an elected congressperson from the people of the 5th District. I live in the 5th District. I do not want that kind of representation in Congress. I'm sorry. Or anywhere. Anywhere. I don't want her running the library if someone's an anti-Semite. I don't know what's in her heart. I hope and pray that she is not anti-Semitic. I hope and pray that she gets an education and stops these anti-Semitic tweets. You know, this is the second one. There was a tweet back in 2014 about how Israel is hypnotizing the world. I pray that people are listening and seeing what is happening. The UN has been historically anti-Semitic with their votes on for BDS, for a boycott, divest, sanction movement, their anti-Israel resolutions. The eyes are opened. The fact that we're having this conversation is a really good one, Paul. Because racism, hatred, anti-Semitism, it doesn't get talked about nearly enough, even though the conversations right. are happening more and more in our culture. Obviously, we can't go a day without talking about blackface. But the fact that Ilhan Omar did make an apology is progress for me. And I'll read a little bit about the apology that Ilhan Omar stated today. She writes, "Anti-Semitism is real. And I am grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes." She continues, "My intention is never to offend my constituents or Jewish Americans as a whole. We have to always be willing to step back and think through criticism, just as I expect people hear me when others attack me for my identity. This is why I unequivocally apologize."
And she adds, "Jure, at the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics, whether it be AIPAC, the NRA, or the fossil fuel industry. It's gone on too long, and we must be willing to address it."
Please make a note that the NRA and the fossil fuel industry give a lot of money to politicians.
To specific politicians.
That is the difference. Again, this is where she right. needs an education. That is the difference between AIPAC and these other lobbyists.
But I think we can all agree that there's way too much money fueling political
Amen.
Campaigns.
Amen.
And maybe we should be talking things like term limits and finance, campaign finance reform. We've
for
been
sure.
talking about this for a long time, but
for sure.
we just keep kicking the can down the road.
For sure. Absolutely. So, unfortunately, this has put a black mark on Minnesota, and I'm glad she apologized.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm offended as a Jewish American. I wish this hadn't happened. And I pray that she gets an education about what really – I hope she takes an AIPAC trip to Israel. go and see. Go into Gaza. Go into where Hamas, a terrorist organization, runs. Go and visit the West Bank. Go. I don't agree with the settlements, but go and learn and hear the truth and see the truth and make an informed decision right. about these things. Don't just tweet that people are getting paid to support AIPAC because they are not. It's misinformation. So I'm all for the truth, and I hope it comes out, and I hope Minnesota starts looking better in the press. So we'll focus on Amy.
Speaking of getting paid, Netflix shareholders got paid last quarter, I think $845 million reported profit in 2018, the largest on record, and they didn't pay a penny in taxes. How that can happen, and they're not an anomaly. Other Fortune 500 companies are paying nothing in taxes.
Crazy.
How is that possible?
This is crazy.
We talk to an expert next on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay.
If I wasn't fired up before, I'm really mad about this next story. Really mad.
Well,
I know, you're the calm one. Thank God. I'm the hysterical female, and you're the calm one. I only say that because some lady called in and called me that once.
You're like what they call a hysterical female.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm fairly hysterical today because there's a lot going on.
Well, people get fired up when it comes to taxes. And as an accountant told me 40 years ago, you want to pay every last penny you owe the IRS, but not a penny more.
Amen, brother.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You want to obey the law.
For sure.
Don't look good in stripes, right? Mm-hmm. Don't think I could do the show from jail.
I live in fear. That's why I get a refund, because I'm afraid of the IRS.
You should be paranoid. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be a little bit paranoid. But how is it Netflix, which earned $845 million last year, didn't pay a penny in tax here in the United States? They paid some tax overseas. It seems like some of the loopholes that we thought might go away with the new tax breaks, mm-hmm. the new tax bill that went into effect just last year, are still very much alive. And
very
well.
Much alive.
And with us to help us decipher all this is Matthew Gardner. He is ITEP's senior fellow. ITEP is the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. And Mr. Gardner wrote a story that made us do a triple take.
Yeah.
How in 2019 is this possible? Mr. Gardner, thank you for joining Jordana and me today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
How did that happen? Matt, how did that happen? They made $845 million and didn't pay one penny in federal or state income tax. How?
Well, I think the short answer is the same way they did it before President Trump and Congress changed the tax laws. And that's the real headline to me. They used tax breaks for R&D credits, and there's a special tax break for companies that pay their executives in stock options. They used things that were completely legal that aren't very effective tax breaks and that should have been repealed as part of last year's tax bill. So there's no intimation that it's illegal, that they're breaking the law, that they're hiding their profits from tax collectors. It's just the same old story that it was a couple years ago. And, you know, what makes that unfortunate is that in the run-up to the big tax bill in 2017, a lot of people were excited, myself included, because everyone knew there were two things that were kind of unusual about our corporate taxes. One is that we had a really high corporate tax rate, 35%.
Compared to the rest of the world, right?
Yes. Compared to the rest of the world. The other was that we were taxing maybe half of all profits, letting companies, on average, shelter half of their profits from paying any tax. So if you're paying an especially high tax rate on an especially narrow base, the thing to do as part of reform is first get rid of the loopholes and then see how much you can responsibly reduce the rate. Instead, what Congress did was to start with the easy part, cutting the rate as far as they possibly could, and really shortchange the hard part, which is looking at all these loopholes, trying to get rid of them. And that I think, is why we're seeing what we're seeing now. Nothing got better. And in fact, both from a budgetary perspective and from a tax fairness perspective, things tax bill was passed.
Matthew, you write, Netflix is one of 100 profitable Fortune 500 corporations that paid a 0% federal income tax rate in at least one profitable year between 2008 and 2015. So they aren't an anomaly. I mean, a lot of big corporations are effectively paying nothing in taxes some years. Not all years, but some years, right?
That's correct. And the reason we did the study that you cite is to make exactly that point, that it's not a question of cherry picking, of identifying specific companies that everybody's mad at, although everybody is mad at Netflix right now for different reasons. You can look across economic sectors over time, over close to a decade in this case, and see that this is a systemic problem with our corporate tax rules. Companies from all over the economic spectrum, from manufacturing to healthcare to tech, to retail, are finding ways to avoid paying income taxes despite being hugely profitable. In the case of Netflix, what we're talking about right now is $845 million of profits in 2018. That's as much profit as they earned in the U.S. in the previous 5 years put together. They are the picture of a healthy corporation from that perspective. And they're exactly the sort of company you would want to be following the letter of the law, paying this new 21% tax rate. And pretty clearly, under the rules as they exist right now, they don't have to worry about that tax so much.
But is this, does this have to do with double taxation and the fact that they were already taxed overseas and so they can't be taxed a second time? This is where it kind of gets into the weeds. But again, I'm just shaking my head wondering how this can happen.
It's a very good question because double taxation was the language that was used misleadingly, I would add, by folks who wanted to cut corporate taxes before 2017. Double taxation was never a meaningful problem in that sense because our rules before 2017, it wasn't you pay 35% of corporate taxes. If you're an international company, you pay 35% minus whatever you already paid to some other country. It was designed to avoid double taxation. But under our new rules, we're not really looking at foreign income at all. We're basically putting foreign income on one side of the fence and saying we're not touching it and just taxing U.S. income. And so this is a very clean look at how U.S. taxes apply to the U.S. profits of Netflix, which, as I said, is not at all.
We're speaking with Matt Gardner. He's a senior fellow at the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy, ITEP. Matt, then this is really, it bothers me. It upsets me as a tax-paying citizen. And my husband has a startup. He pays taxes from his business. What do we need to do now as citizens to change this? I understand it's not illegal. They didn't do anything wrong, and nobody's accusing them of that. But the unfairness of this is a little too much for me to take as a private citizen. What do I need to go and tell my Congress people to lobby them to change so I can see a little more equity and fairness in the system?
I think what Congress, the message Congress needs to hear and the message that the Trump administration needs to hear is that they need to follow through on their promises and that they need to do their job. As I mentioned, I think they did the easy part by cutting the corporate tax rates. They've utterly avoided the question that needs to be asked about every one of a dozen different tax loopholes. Why are these here? Are they working? Are they worth what we pay for them? Congress failed to answer those questions, and they need to know that we know as citizens these tax breaks are still there. They're still benefiting a very small number of very large companies while offering nothing to us. That's the message they need to hear, is clean up the loopholes.
Were there promises to cut these exact loopholes that weren't kept to us?
The promises were less clear on the corporate tax side than on the individual tax side. As you know,
right,
the administration basically promised on the individual side that upper-income families would pay more, that the very richest Americans would pay more, a promise that was very clearly broken. On the corporate side, pretty clearly the main goal the administration had all along was cutting the rate. There was some language on loophole closing, but it was never, it never really shaped up to much. It's just, I mean, the betrayal is sort of the broader principles of tax reform. any observer knew that these two things needed to happen together. You can't get rid of the loopholes unless you're doing something with the rates. Now that we've cut the rates so substantially, it's going to make it much harder to take away the tax breaks. So it's not a case of just dramatically broken promises. It's just a super incomplete view of what corporate tax reform meant. In the end, what Congress focused on very closely on the corporate side was not corporate tax reform. It was just corporate tax cuts.
Matthew, what are the implications? Because smaller businesses and individuals, consumers, have to pick up the slack. And what are the implications for our deficit and just funding the government?
That's exactly right. The concern before this tax bill was passed was that we were already facing big deficits. You know, we haven't balanced our budget as a nation since 1999. Which means every year we're just piling on more and more red ink and shifting the cost towards future generations. At some point, that has to end. And the way it's going to end is either by hiking other taxes on everyone else. That means you and me and small businesses mostly, because we don't have the effective lobbyists that the big companies have. Or it means further cuts in public investments, less money on healthcare, on education, on transportation, all the areas that we all can look at and agree actually need more resources. And yes, less money for immigration enforcement, which Congress, many folks in Congress appear intent on funding more right now. You can't do it in the long run unless you have a tax system that generates the needed amount of revenues. And you simply cannot fund the needs of our nation going forward without requiring companies like Netflix and other Fortune 500 companies to pay a reasonable tax rate. I think 0%, most of us would agree, is not reasonable.
We agree, Matthew. Yes.
Jeez. Wow. Well, thank you for opening our eyes and providing some perspective. Matthew Gardner, senior fellow at ITEP, which stands for, let me make sure I get this right, the
Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy.
Yes. One more acronym to memorize.
You were great, Matthew. Thank you so much for the explanation. It really helped a lot.
Thanks for your time.
You got it.
Thank you, sir.
It's upsetting,
jeez.
But it did help clear things up.
It did. All right. Let's see if we can clear up traffic and weather here. It's 3:49 Wicks and Jewelers time. Sell your unwanted valuables at Wicks and Jewelers in Bloomington. They pay top dollar for diamonds, vintage jewelry, fine watches, and precious metal.
Remember that time I talked to you about Elton John tickets, and then I said, oh, no, hold back. It's because we were getting it right on how we're giving you, yes, those Elton John tickets. So we have a very cool contest going on here at WCCO Radio. We want you to go to WCCORadio.com, go to our website, and you can win Elton John tickets if you sign up for our newsletter. You will see a cute little WCCO News Talk 830 logo on the upper left of your homepage. Right above that are the words Join the Club. You click on Join the Club, you sign up for our newsletter, and you are automatically registered to win tickets to Elton John. Now, if you already get our newsletter, and I hope that you do because it's a fantastic newsletter, you should have gotten a link to enter a, quote, secret contest to win Elton John tickets. So you got the link, sign up there, you're registered.
And you only have until Thursday to do it. So make sure you get on it right now.
See, Dan Cook knows all. You only have until Thursday right now. We're WCCORadio.com and join the club. See, it's a win-win. You could possibly win Elton John tickets and you get to be informed because you're getting the newsletter.
Could it get any better? I don't think it could.
Right. So if you're already registered, that's great. Send it to somebody else for their chance to win Elton John tickets. So this snow is going to be a big nothing burger, huh?
A few, 2 to 4 inches. I think nothing burger.
Okay.
Explains it quite well. Yes.
Did you watch the Grammys last night or get a little glimpse and see any of it?
I did not. I was actually watching Outlander.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Outlander.
Is that like a Netflix show?
It was a Starz show.
Mm-hmm.
That, my TV got hijacked.
Lori.
I was
Lori
out
took
east,
control.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You were with Folker. I know. We had a great time talking with him on Friday. I did watch the Grammys.
And you liked it, right?
I liked some of it. It was a strange show. Here was my favorite part. Hey, J-Lo did an unbelievable tribute to Motown. Berry Gordy was in the audience. She was up there with Smokey Robinson. The dancing. I mean, J-Lo is what an unbelievable talent she is. Unbelievable talent. A-Rod, by the way, her boyfriend. They live together now. Mm-hmm. Are they married?
You're asking me?
I don't know if they're married. I don't know if they're married. But whatever. They're together. He was in the audience just watching her. And even says, like, wow. You can see him mouthing the words wow during the performance at one time, which was really cute. That was definitely my favorite part. I think there were some technical difficulties on the Grammys. And go ahead.
But you said J-Lo got some pushback?
She is getting.
For doing Motown? Because.
She is getting some pushback. And I will tell you about that in the next hour. I think it is undeserved that she got that pushback. We'll be back in the next hour to hear more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.